महाजनों ये न कथा सबंधा. To follow in the footsteps of these great souls is the real path of perfection. We find in the great Shivananda Sen, when a dog joined the entourage going from Bengal to Puri, he was feeding it prasad every day. Special type of prasad, rice. And when his servants forgot to feed the dog and the dog ran away, Shivananda Sen considered that he made a great offense. And when he did see the dog in Puri, he bowed down to the lotus paws of the dog. And he saw Lord Chaitanya throwing coconut pulp from his mouth. Lord Mahaprabhu ate the pulp and threw it, and the dog caught it and ate it. And Lord Chaitanya was telling the dog, "Say Krishna, Krishna." And the dog was chanting, "Krishna, Krishna." And the next day, that dog was nowhere to be seen. Why? It had gone to Vaikuntha. What was that dog's qualification? It became the object of Shivananda Sen's love. When a great soul shows compassion to someone, that person becomes the special object of Krishna's mercy. That is our only hope. To think that we are qualified is a great disqualification. To think that we are unqualified is our qualification. But to think we're unqualified, truthfully, means we must take shelter. To say that you're unqualified is not a difficult thing to do. But if you really believe it, then with all humility you will take shelter. And that is what bhakti is about. Daivi heshu gunamayi mamma maya duratyaya mam evam ye prapadyante maya metadurantite. This material nature is impossible for us to overcome. But if we take shelter, we can do. But we can only take shelter when we genuinely are humble. That is bhakti. Yes, Ramanujacharya taught that by his life, and he taught that in how he disappeared from this world here at Sri Rangam. And all of his great associates, they also illustrated this principle. And in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, we find that principle consistent in its most developed state in our beloved Acharyas. Thakur Haridas, when he was offered any benediction, he asked, "Let me be a dog or an insect near the house of a devotee so that I can get the food remnants that has been touched by those devotees." And then he cried, "Such audacity! How could I ask for something so exalted?" Like a dwarf wanting to touch the moon, I'm asking for something so high. But his humility was so genuine, the Lord and all the devotees wept and showered supreme mercy upon him. Just close to where we are is Chandra Pushkarini, very ancient pukur, or lake of water, filled with fish. During Ramanujacharya's Leela, one day he came unassumingly and washed his hands in that lake. And as soon as he touched the water became so sanctified that in front of everyone's eyes, every one of the fish just, they arose from the water, manifested perfect forearm forms, and ascended to Vaikuntha. Hare Krishna. I was told that one of my god brothers, Achyutananda Swami, he came here in the early 1970s, and he was told that story by one of the pujaris, and immediately he jumped in the water. Just dove in the water. But I think we have to be as humble as those fish were to really receive that mercy. I would like to briefly tell some of the history of this temple, with your permission. In the beginning of the creation, please know, every day of Brahma, the creation is manifested. And every night, when he takes rest, a vast portion of the universe is inundated by a pralaya, or flood. And then he wakes up and he has to recreate a lot every morning. That is Brahma Seva. So there's a beautiful story of how in the causal ocean, Lord Narayan was laying down in his yoga nidra, which is like a mystic spiritual sleep. From his navel sprouted a wonderful lotus flower, golden lotus flower with thousands of petals. In the whirl of that lotus flower, Lord Brahma took birth. His name is Atmabhu, which means he is born directly from the Lord. Lord Brahma did not know where he was or who he was or what he was supposed to do. There was only darkness all around. But the Lord revealed to him that he should perform tapasya and chant the holy names. Lord Brahma performed tapasya. In this particular occasion, according to the Srirangam Mahatmya, the Lord appeared as a swan, Hamsa, and revealed the truth to him. So after performing his tapasya, he was given transcendental knowledge. The four Vedas were manifested to him by the will of the Lord. And his power to be the secondary creator within this universe. He started creating the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, the Shudras. He started creating the sages and the rishis and various manifestations within this universal creation. But suddenly, from his ears, two horrible demons manifested, Madhu and Kaitaba, these miserable demons stole the Vedas from Brahma. Now please know that at that time the Vedas were not written books. The Vedas were within Brahma's heart, within his mind. They actually stole the remembrance of the Vedas from him. It was a subtle thievery. And taking the Vedas from Brahma, he couldn't do anything anymore. He became powerless. And he could not face Kaitava and Madhu, because although they were born of him, they were so powerful. So in that condition, Lord Brahma took shelter of the Lord Sri Narayan. This is very important. Even in the execution of our duties to the Lord, we are absolutely dependent on the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explained, what is the best we could do in our life? We can take water from the Ganges and offer it back to Mother Ganges. Is that something very great? Everything's coming from Krishna. He's the source of our intelligence. He's the strength. He's the source of everything that exists. Whatever we have to serve the Lord, we are getting from the Lord. Krishna doesn't need anything. But if we just take from him and offer it back to him, if we offer it with love, then Krishna becomes satisfied. So much satisfied, if it is offered with pure love, he's bhaktivatsal. He becomes subordinate to that love. Yashoda Mai, her love was so great, she could bind Krishna, imprison him. The gopas of Vrindavan, their love was so great, they could defeat him in wrestling. And the gopis, their love is so great that Krishna is confessing to them, I have no way to repay your love. You've given up everything for me. You've given up your homes. You've given up your safety. You've given up your social status. You've given your lives wholesale, unconditionally, only for my pleasure. Even in an entire lifetime of Brahma, I cannot repay you. So please be satisfied with your own glorious devotional service. That is the Lord's nature. He is conquered by love, although he is unconquerable. So even when we're trying to serve the Lord, we should not think that we're doing the Lord a favor. We're just trying to please the Lord. Whether we're offering the Lord 100 crores of rupees or whether we're offering him a flower. Prabhupada said, Krishna doesn't see what you give. He sees how much you're holding back. What you're keeping for yourself is very much how Krishna determines our devotional service. Sarva dharman purityajya mame kam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. Abandon all varieties of dharma, just surrender to me. At the time of death, Krishna is not going to determine your destination by how much wealth you're leaving behind for your children. At the time of death, Krishna's consideration is how much you have surrendered to him of your body, your mind, your life, your soul, your everything for his pleasure. That's all. And that is reality. So Brahma was in a fix. Madhu, Kaitaiba, they were causing havoc. They were actually interfering with the entire creation because they stole the Vedas. So Brahma prayed to the Lord, and the Lord appeared as Matsyavatar. And Brahma explained to him what happened. And then Matsyavatar said, "We will protect you." And then the Lord appeared in the form of Hayagriva, a man and horse in one form. And Hayagriva dove into the ocean and caught Kaitava and Madhu and Kaitava, and there was a tremendous fight that took place, which is described in the Puranas. And ultimately, Hayagriva Bhagavan was victorious and restored the Vedas to Lord Brahma. And thus gave hope and light to the whole world. Lord Brahma wanted so much to see the original form of Mahavishnu. So he was told to go to the banks of the ocean of milk to perform tapasya and chant the holy names, Om Namo Narayanaya. So for over 1,000 celestial years, Lord Brahma sat on the shore of the ocean of milk, chanting the names of the Lord, fasting, not even sleeping, just fixed with the purpose. He wanted to see the Lord. And from the ocean of milk arose a beautiful golden vimana, surrounded by the four Kumaras, Gandharvas, Apsaras, and all other great personalities, great sages and rishis and divine beings, Ananda, Shesha, and Garuda. They were fanning with chamaras and offering all sorts of songs and gifts. Inside the vimana, Lord Brahma had the darshan of Sri Ranganath. That is how this deity appeared within the universe. Self-manifested deity. Timeless. Appeared by his own sweet will after 1,000 celestial years of tapasya in loving devotion by Brahma. So this deity became Lord Brahma's life and soul. He built a beautiful temple and installed Sri Ranganath in Satyaloka, which is the topmost planet of the spiritual world. There are 14 planetary systems above this earth: Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka, the abode of Lord Brahma. For a long time he worshipped this deity. And then he made Pujari Suryadev, the presiding deity of the sun. And Suryadev, later on, gave responsibility of worshipping on behalf of Brahma to his son, Vaivashvatmanu. And later on, the puja was offered to the son of Manu, Ikshvaku. Now Ikshvaku, he had his kingdom in Ayodhya, in this world, descendant of the solar dynasty. And Ikshvaku was thinking that now all of my relatives and my father, Vaivashvatmanu, my grandfather, Surya, my great-grandfather, Brahma, They can easily go to Satyaloka to have darshan and do the puja. But in the future, my descendants will not have the power to go to Satyaloka. And I want them to be able to worship this deity. So Ikshvaku had a very, very deep longing to bring Ranganath from Satyaloka to the earth planet. And in order to do so, he performed very, very serious austerities. Would you like to hear some of those austerities? Are you sure? When you hear about these austerities, you may feel ashamed of yourselves if you're complaining about not getting your rooms on time or prasad not being served properly or the buses taking too long or uncooperative bus drivers. Now, from my side, I fall in the dust of the feet of each and every one of you and apologize for any inconvenience, because ultimately it's my fault, because I am the one who invited all of you to this yatra. We're trying. I'm very small and I cannot do things very well, but we beg forgiveness for inconvenience. That's from my side. But from your side, please compare your inconvenience to what Ikshvaku did in order to see Lord Ranganath. You had a little inconvenience, and you're going to see Lord Ranganath in a few minutes. In fact, it's 1:08, very auspicious. During the summer, Ikshvaku lit 5 blazing fires around him and sat directly under the sun and meditated on the lotus feet of the Lord. During the rainy season, he just sat white in the rain and just had one wet rag around his body for 4 months. Before I continue, one thing. Before I continue, the most important part of this lecture is my very, very deep gratitude to Murli Bhatt. Tomorrow, with your permission, we will discuss Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's South Indian tour. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to South India, he stopped in Rangakshetra. And I'm just going to be 1 minute, but please stay for one more minute. He danced in ecstasy before the deity of Ranganath. And large crowds came to see the beautiful golden form of the Lord loudly chanting the holy names. After the kirtan, one very pure, exalted Brahmin of the name Venkat Bhatt fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet and invited him to come to his home. Lord Chaitanya came to his home, Venkat Bhatt washed the Lord's feet, and then sprinkled that water on his head and drank it and fed it to all of his family members. Some of his family members, Trimala Bhatt, Prabodhananda Saraswati was his brother, and his son was Gopal Bhatt, who later became the great Gopal Bhatt Goswami. Venkat Bhatt had such deep and pure devotion, he invited Lord Chaitanya to remain in his house for 4 months. Now this is extraordinary. Because according to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya's principle was he would stay in a place for one night, and then the next morning after taking bath, he would travel to another place. But in reciprocation for the love of these three brothers and their child, Trimalabhat, Prabodhananda Saraswati, and Venkatabhat, Lord Chaitanya resided in their house for 4 months. We will describe some of the stories of his stay in Srirangam tomorrow. But Venkatabhat became a dear, most loving associate of Lord Chaitanya. And his son became one of the 6 Goswamis. And his brother became one of the most exalted authors of Vaishnav literatures in the history of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. When I first came to Srirangam in 1983 with my dear godbrother, His Grace Gorkeshav Prabhu and Pushkar Prabhu, we stayed at the house of Rangaraj Bhatt. The same house that Lord Chaitanya lived in. And the son of the great Rangaraj Bhatt, who fought very hard to give ISKCON devotees and even foreign devotees the rights to have the darshan of Ranganath. There was resistance. That how can people born in Malechya and Yavana backgrounds come in before the Lord? But Rangaraj Bhatt, being a true descendant of Venkatabhat, who received such causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he actually established the policy where all ISKCON devotees from all over the world could freely come in and take darshan. And Murli Bhatt is the son of Rangaraj Bhatt. He is a descendant of Venkatabhat and a relative, a loving relative of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And today we see how he is following in the footsteps so nicely of his father and his great forefathers. Not only is he allowing foreigners in the temple, but he's giving such honors to foreigner in public simply because they are trying to be a speck of dust at the lotus feet of the servants of Srila Prabhupada. So I cannot tell you what an honor and what a joy it is to be receiving the love and the affection of this extraordinary personality, Murli Bhatt. And he has such a humble service attitude. Not only has he arranged all of this wonderful reception, I don't even know what this is. I've never seen one before. But such a wonderful, loving reception. Huh? Thank you for enlightening me. But right now, he's going because he's one of the head pujaris of this temple. One of the head pujaris of this temple. He's going right now in his loving service attitude to arrange an exclusive darshan for all of us with Sri Ranganath. So let us offer our deepest heartfelt gratitude to Sri Murli Bhatt. And later today, with Lord Ranganathji's mercy, we will pass his house, which is exactly the same house that Lord Chaitanya stayed in. Same pillars, same everything. Yes? The only thing different is they painted some places. And they may have retiled the floor slightly, but otherwise they've preserved the house in the exact state that Lord Chaitanya remained for 4 months. From our heart of hearts, we thank you and your family very, very, very much. Where did we leave off? Yes, we left off with having difficulty getting your rooms on time. And uncooperative bus drivers. So Ikshvaku, in the winter season, when it was very cold, he would go to cold places and he would go under ice cold freezing water up to his neck and remain there without coming out for the entire 4 months of the winter season. Hare Krishna. Very severe austerities. So Indra was thinking that anyone who is doing these austerities must want to take away my opulences. Because it is the nature of life in this world. What to speak of humans? Even the demigods have this natural conditioning. That whatever we're attached to, we become very possessive of it, and we become very fearful of losing it. Do you remember 2 days back we were discussing Quraysh? He was a very wealthy man. His name was Quraysh because he was the king of the whole province of Kura. Mass landowner. Beautiful home. He was giving abundant charity, anything anybody wanted, from sunrise till after sunset, every day. But when Lakshmi Devi wanted to see him for his charitable works, he felt ashamed. Why should she want to see me for my charity? Everything I have is hers. So he gave everything away to the Brahmins, and left with his wife wearing the clothes of mendicants to come to Sri Rangam because he felt so much contaminated by the show bottle charity he was giving. This is his mentality. I'm just doing show bottle charity. I should just stop all this and purify myself by going to Sri Rangam and living like a mendicant under the feet of my Guru Maharaj. So on his way to Sri Rangam, his wife Andal was feeling afraid because they were going through dark forests. She said, "I'm afraid." He said, "Why are you afraid? Did you bring anything with you?" She said, "I only brought one. Of all our wealth, I only kept one thing, a golden bowl to feed you." He said, "That's why you're afraid. As long as you own anything and you're attached to it, then you will be afraid." So they took that bowl and threw it in the forest, and from that day on, the rest of their lives, they were fearless. Hare Krishna. So Indra, he was afraid. I have so much. If I have so much, if he's getting powers, he may take it away. So he sent Kamadev. And Kamadev brought his entourage. Now, we don't want to know so much about Kamadev's entourage. Even hearing about it creates disturbance of the mind. But still, I'll speak something. There was Urvasi, and there was Menaka, and so many. They were all there. A whole host of beautiful damsels, and they were spraying fragrances, and they were dancing, and they were singing and tinkling their bells, and everything that brings a passion out in man was manifested fully there. So Ikshvaku, after a long time, he opened his eyes, he looked at them, and he offered his obeisances to all of the apsaras. Cupid was so angry, he just shot the arrow of Kama right into his heart. And then he offered his obeisances to Cupid. And he considered them special guests. And in the Vedic tradition, a guest is supposed to be treated like Lord Narayan himself. So he was offering them Argya and Padma and Achman and all these nice articles of worship and honoring them. And they were totally embarrassed. He had no lust. He had no anger. He was just offering them respect and honor. So they were just standing like statues, stunned. And they had to go back to Indra and tell him. Before they went back to Indra, they said, "We bless you that Ranganath comes down and all your desires are fulfilled." Then Indra came. He brought his thunderbolt. But as soon as he brought out his thunderbolt, Ikshvaku just prayed at the lotus feet of Lord Ranganath, and Ranganath's Sudarshan Chakra came and neutralized Indra. And ultimately the news came to Lord Brahma that Ikshvaku was doing so much austerity with such a spirit of selfless devotion to bring Ranganath to the earth. Should I continue? So Lord Brahma was feeling not afraid, he was feeling heartbroken that he came before Ranganath in Satyaloka and wept tears. He bathed the deity of Ranganath with these tears. He said, "My Lord, Ikshvaku's doing all this tapasya. Are you going to leave me and go to earth? If you leave me and go to earth, then how will I live? You are my life, you are my soul, you are my everything. Worshipping you is my heart, my love. Please don't leave." And Ranganath replied that Ikshvaku is serving me with great love and devotion. I must go to the earth to satisfy his desire. But have no fear, because there's a different time zone in the earth. He said, "You worship me in the morning for Mangalarti. And after you do your morning puja, I'll go down to Ayodhya. And later on, you'll see, I'll also go up to the banks of the Kaveri. And because the time of Brahmaloka and the time of the earth is so different," he said, "I'll be there for the span of many, many manus. For a span of tens and millions of years, I'll be on earth. And by the time it's time for the noon offering, I'll come back here to Brahmaloka. So you will not miss a single offering to me. You do offering, I'll go down to earth. By their calculation, millions of years. By yours, I'll be back for the next offering." So Lord Brahma was very happy. And then Lord Brahma himself put Ranganath on the back of his swan in his vimana. And Lord Brahma came down, descended to the earth, to Ayodhya, and fulfilled all the desires of Ikshvaku. Now I will begin today's class. So Ikshvaku built a beautiful temple and worshipped Sri Ranganath as his life and soul in the holy city of Ayodhya. And many, many generations later, there was King Dasarath. King Dasarath was such a wonderful king. He satisfied all of his citizens like a father to his children. But he had no son. So he was performing a yajna for that purpose. And he invited many, many great kings who were his friends from all around the world to attend. And one of those kings was named Dharmavarman, the king of the Chola dynasty. He was the king of the place we are sitting today. Now when Dharmavarma saw the beauty of Ranganath, his heart melted in ecstatic love. And what is the nature of love? You want to serve. He wanted to serve Ranganath so dearly. And he was thinking that Ikshvaku performed great tapasya to bring Ranganath from Satyaloka to Ayodhya. I am going to perform the same type of tapasya to bring Ranganath from Ayodhya to the banks of the Kaveri River near Chandrapushkarini in Hare Krishna. So after the yajna, Dharmavarma Raj came back to this place and on the banks of this kund that we are beside, Chandrapushkarini, he performed great austerities, meditating on the Lord and chanting his holy names, praying for his appearance in Sri Rangam. Meanwhile, Dasarath Maharaj had four children: Ramchandra, Bharat, Lakshman, Satrughna. Ram and the whole family, the Ishtadev of Ayodhya, was Ranganath, because he was the worshipable deity of all of their forefathers, of the whole Ikshvaku dynasty. Sri Ram was banished for 14 years. And during the last year, Sita was abducted by Ravana, provoking Sri Ramchandra along with the monkeys, headed by Sugriva and Hanuman. They went to Rameshwaram, which is our next stop. Now please beware. We have to deal with bus drivers and new accommodations when we get to Rameshwaram. But just meditate on Ikshvaku. But it was from Rameshwaram that Sri Ramchandra built the bridge across to Sri Lanka and fought that great battle, defeated Ravana. And then Lord Ram coronated Ravana's younger brother, Vibhishan, as king, and brought Vibhishan back to Ayodhya with him, where Ramchandra performed the Rajasuya Yajna and the whole coronation ceremony. When Vibhishan was told by Ram to go back to Sri Lanka and be king, Vibhishan did not want to go. He had surrendered his life, his heart, to Lord Ramchandra. How can I live in separation from you, my Lord? Not possible. I don't want to be a king. I don't want anything. I only want your loving service. Vibhishan was the personification of this verse of Lord Chaitanya. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janam anijan manishwari bhavata bhakti rohit ki twai. I do not want wealth. I do not want the beauty of the opposite sex. I do not want fame or prestige or even followers. I do not even want liberation from suffering. I only want your service, my Lord. Birth after birth after birth, unconditionally. Unconditionally means on your terms, my Lord, not on my terms. Unconditional devotional service means like that, that I will serve you according to your terms, Krishna, not according to my plans and my terms. We can make our plans, but ultimately surrender means whatever, Krishna, your terms are, I am your servant. Manaso deho geho jo kichu mor arpilun tu alpade nanda kishore. My body, my mind, my wealth, my home, my family, my life, it is all your property, O Nanda Kishore. This was the mood of Vibhishan. What do I want the beautiful golden city of Sri Lanka? What do I want all the power of being the king? I only want to render menial service to you as the servant of your servant of your servants. Let me just remain one of your humble menial servants here in Ayodhya rather than be king there. In Milton's Paradise Lost, Satan has said, better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. Hare Krishna. That is the mentality that Maya tries to put in our heart. But for Bibhishan, better to serve in a menial position than to be the king of the world. But Ramchandra said, no, it is your duty. You must go to Sri Lanka to be king. And Sri Ramchandra, just to express his love and gratitude to Vibhishan, Ramchandra gave to him the Ishtadev of his entire dynasty. Ramchandra said, you can take Ranganath with you to Sri Lanka and worship him there for the rest of your life, and you should know that he is none different from me. Hare Krishna. Vibhishan was so happy, so honored that Ram was going to come with him to live forever in Sri Lanka in his beautiful form of Ranganath Swami. So Vibhishan was carrying him. And meanwhile, Dharmavarman was still performing his tapasya. Now some of the sages and rishis and brahmins of this area, they said to Dharmavarman, why are you doing all this tapasya? Kings don't have to do this. We're sages and rishis. We do this. We do this for you. You don't have to do it. Besides that, you're totally pious. Your kingdom is totally pious. You don't have to atone for anything. But Dharmavarman said, I am doing this to bring Ranganath, the Lord of my life. And the sages told him that long ago the benediction was given that Ranganath will come to live here. So the king, Dharmavarman, built a beautiful place for Ranganath. And when Vibhishan was passing by this area, he placed Ranganath down between the two rivers, two branches of the river Kaveri, on the banks of Chandra Pushkarini. So the Dharmavarman, who was Vibhishan's good friend, could perform puja. Then Dharmavarman said to Vibhishan that actually there's a 9-day festival that has been celebrated by the descent by the Ikshvaku dynasty since time immemorial, and that time has come now. So let us worship him for the next 9 days here. So Vibhishan said, yes, 9 days. And they performed the pujas, and they had a grand festival for Ranganath. At the end of 9 days, when Vibhishan went to pick up Ranganathji, Ranganath would not move. Vibhishan cried. Tears flowed and washed the Lord's lotus feet. Vibhishan said, I cannot live without you, my Lord. Why are you not moving? And Ranganathji said that this is my home on earth. King Dharmavarman and all of these devotees here, they love me so much. And you also love me so much. And because you love me, you only want what I want. What will give me the greatest pleasure is to stay here between these two rivers of the Kaveri. And Vibhishan said, that is a wonderful idea. I will also stay here. He was really detached. And Ranganath said, no, Ramchandra has already coronated you the king of Sri Lanka. You must go there. He said, but I will lay here and I will always be facing in the direction of Sri Lanka. And you should always know that I am watching you, and you will always feel me. You will always feel my presence. Now you go and you perform your service. So Vibhishan returned to Sri Lanka, and Sri Ranganath remained here. Dharmavarman built a beautiful temple, magnificent temple. However, after many, many generations went by due to floods and storms, the deity and the temple were gone. Here is Sri Ranganath, the most glorious life and soul, the most famous deity in this entire region, the personal Ishtadeva of Lord Brahma, Surya, Manu, Ikshvaku, the Ishtadeva of Ramchandra and his whole dynasty, and the great king Dharmavarman, who performed such austerities of devotional service to bring him here. And then the deity's gone. Some people heard about him. Other people didn't even hear about him anymore. He was just gone. There was no trace of a temple, nothing. One of the descendants of Dharmavarman, of the name King Kili. He happened to be just walking, and there was a little anthill, and a parrot began to sing songs about the beauty of Ranganath and the beauty of Vaikuntha, and how Ranganath and Vaikuntha were right below the tree. So he dug in the ground, and there was Sri Ranganath Swami. And the temple, what was the remains of it. And then he reestablished the worship and built a beautiful temple for them. Now Srila Prabhupada cites in his purport one of the Alvars, whose name was Tirumangai. Very popular story. You have all heard. I'd like to explain it from the point of view of why. Why is it that the most pious, compassionate, honest, pure-hearted souls honor and worship Tirumangai. How is this? There's deities of Tirumangai as one of the Alwars, one of the great acharyas of the Sri Sampradaya, sannyasis like Ramanujam, great persons like Yamunacharya, Mahapurna. Why they honor and worship Tirumangai? These are men who spoke such purely the truth, who were moral and pious, ever well wishers to ever living being. We will tell the story, and hopefully it will be revealed in the process. Nityananda Prabhu was telling me some of the past of Tirumangai's birth and how he grew up in this world. And it is very complicated. And for the purpose of keeping you all awake, I am going to skip to the end of the story. Nityananda Prabhu, where are you? Do I have your permission? Hare Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu is a storehouse of information. He is like an encyclopedia of the Sri Sampradaya. He was born and raised very religiously, and his name was Lakshmi Narayan. And I remember when he, before initiation, he sent a message, very humble. He said, please give me a name that is very much of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Do you remember? So I tried my best. Nityananda Prabhu. And although he's a staunch follower of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, still he has such very deep adoration and respect for the gifts he was given while he was a follower of Sri Sampradaya. He's kind of like our little Venkata Bhatta. He was a devotee of Lakshmi Narayan who tasted the sweetness of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela and never turned back. Yes? So Tirumangai, he became a sadhu. Something interesting of his past is he was actually the son of a very wealthy landowner. His parents had a lot of money and he inherited it. And he fell in love with a girl. You know how that happens sometimes. It could complicate a person's life a lot. But it also can liberate a person's life. Why nobody laughed when I said it can complicate people's life? when I talk about how liberating falling in love with a woman is, everyone's laughing. Perhaps you're not expecting to hear that from me. Anyways, this was the case. Kumudavali? Yes, Kumudavali. She was a very beautiful young lady, and he wanted to marry her. So he approached the father, which is the proper etiquette, to approach the father. The father said, I will not make this decision. I will leave it to my daughter. But the daughter was a devotee. And she said, I will not marry you unless you take initiation. So he took initiation. She said, but now you have to feed prasad to 1,000 Vaishnavas every day. Yes? So he started doing Vaishnav Seva. That's not a small thing, feeding 1,000 Vaishnavas a day. Of course, we're feeding 2,000 Vaishnavas. And we see it's not easy. But 1,000 Vaishnavas every day feeding. He was personally arranging, serving very nicely. And through the process of just associating with these devotees and giving them very nice prasad and pleasing them, he became very deeply attached to the association of devotees. After a year went by, he got married to Kumudvali. But what happened is, he was so attached to serving Vaishnavas that even after marriage, he kept serving 1,000, then 2,000. He was increasing. That was his life and soul. He didn't want to do anything else except to serve Vaishnavas. And many things happened. But in due course of time, he became a sadhu. And he was traveling here and there. And because of his detachment from material life and his great devotion and knowledge, various people became his disciples. Specifically, there were four mystic yogis that surrendered to him and became his disciples, became devotees. And they had extraordinary powers. One could walk on water. Another could open any door or any lock. Another could step on a person's shadow, and in doing so, the person could not move until he freed his shadow. And another one of these mystic yogis was so expert at debate and argument that when he started debating with somebody, the person could not leave him. It was like he practically, through words, he put chains on the person, so the person just couldn't leave. So they were traveling together to various holy places, doing their bhajan. And they came to Sri Rangam. At that time, as we have spoken, time had really beaten down this place. It had become an overgrown jungle. Whatever temple was there in the past was utterly dilapidated and practically disintegrated. And the deity of Ranganath was just in a forest with wild animals. No one was coming here. The pujari was so afraid of the animals and the snakes that he would just come once a day and just give an offering and run away. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ranganath, the deity of Ramchandra's dynasty, was just living in a most primitive, forgotten, and poverty-stricken state. But the amazing thing is in this area, there were fabulously wealthy people. And there was also miserably poor people. Why were some people so wealthy? Because they were exploiting the poor. So Tirumangai, his thought was, Ranganath is the Lord of the universe. He deserves to have a most fabulous temple. All these immoral, unethical, cheating business people, they have huge palaces, big estates, wonderful gardens. And the poor people are living in the streets starving. And Ranganath is like the poor people. He's just living in the jungle, practically starving. This is not right. We should raise funds and build a beautiful temple for Ranganath. So he and his disciples very humbly were approaching the wealthy people and asking, please give a donation to build a temple for Ranganath Swami. They would not give anything. They were so greedy, so materialistic and envious. They wouldn't even give a single coin. And not only that, but they ridiculed, chastised, and blasphemed them for even trying to make a temple for Ranganath. And this was the result they were getting wherever they went. So they tolerated insults because these people were so proud of their power and money. And they could understand nothing was going to happen. Nothing was going to change as long as these people were just controlling due to their money and power. So in an emergency situation, sometimes emergency remedies are required. So Tirumangai decided they're cheating, they're sinful, they're not giving to the Lord. Which is better? That they just get fat in their big palaces and exploit everyone? Or we take their money and build a temple for Ranganath? What do you think his disciples said? Loudly, please. Hare Krishna. So they made a plan. And they started recruiting dacoits. They were pure in heart, but they were engaging people who were not so pure. Chandramali Maharaj is saying, Prabhupada did the same thing with us. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you. So, so they had very good ideas. One of them said, I will argue with someone and they won't be able to leave. And while I'm arguing, the other person said, then I will pick his lock and I will go into his door and I will get inside. And if anyone tries to come to get us, the other person said, I'll step on his shadow and he won't be able to do it. And some of these wealthy people, they have all these moats and and water around their house. While you're all doing that, I'll just walk right across the water, go right in the house and bring Krishna's money back to him. So they started storing a lot of wealth. But they were not only doing that, but they were also feeding Krishna Ranganath's prasad to all the poor people. It was food for life. Food for life has its place in the Sri Sampradaya also. So all the poor people were ecstatic. Ecstatic that Ranganath was getting his temple and that they were being treated properly again by people, you know, who had some funds and some power. And Tirumangai amassed great treasures through this process. Then he hired the best architects and had thousands of workers working. They built one wall, another wall, another wall. He carried on with this fundraising campaign for 60 years. Until the temple was complete. 7 walls, 28 gopurams, wonderful, beautiful temple. And Ranganath had just a royal accommodation and wonderful bhoga and beautiful, beautiful ornaments. And because Tirumangai and his personal disciples were such pious people, in their own hearts, even though they were amassing such massive treasures and using every penny for the building of the temple, Tirumangai lived in the forest in a bhajan kutir. Didn't accept anything for himself. Every day he went out personally begging, house to house, to get a little rice to eat, and he would not eat anything that he didn't go out and beg. So he remained totally simple. He did not accept anything for himself, and none of his disciples accepted anything for themselves. And by this time, they were all in their 80s when the temple was complete. But the robbers, who were there many, who were their assistants, they wanted money. Tirumangai spent everything for the temple. When the temple was complete, they stopped the activities and the robber said, "Pay us." So there's nothing left. This was his principle. He wouldn't pay them anything. Everything had to be used for the Lord. He really had this unconditional service. Even the robbers had to be unconditional servants. In the service of the Lord, no one gets paid. That was his mood. So the robbers plotted amongst themselves to kill Tirumangai because he's not giving money that we want. So Tirumangai heard the rumors that there was a plot to murder him. So he discussed it with his 4 primary disciples. And they talked amongst themselves and made a counterplot to protect their guru. So the one who argues so nicely, he spoke with them and said, "Oh, what is the problem?" They said, "We demand money from him. He's not giving us any money. We're robbers, we're thieves, we're dacoits. We deserve money too." He said, "I agree with you. I know where he keeps all the money. He says he spent it all, but actually
there is a great treasure.
This happened to be during the monsoon season, when the river Kaveri was very wide, very deep, and the waves were just flowing in torrents. He said, there's an island in the middle of the river, and that's where the treasure is. If we get that treasure, we'll all be rich men. And I have this boat, the same boat that brought all these huge stones to build the temple. We can all fit on that boat together. So hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dacoits all got on the boat. Very eager. They went to the middle of the Kaveri, and just around sunset, the one devotee who could walk on water, he went with them. And all the rest were standing on the shore with Gurudev. And exactly what he did, somehow or other, he put holes in the boat. And the boat was fast sinking. Sinking, sinking, and the river was... They were all screaming and yelling and screaming and yelling. They couldn't escape. There was nowhere to go. And all of a sudden, there was absolute silence. Do you know why there was absolute silence? Hare Krishna. They found their treasure on the bottom of the Kaveri River. And then this one disciple just very happily walked over the water and came back to his Gurudev, Tirumangai, and said, they're gone. Tirumangai was very thoughtful. He said, actually, they were murderers and thieves and bad people, menaces to society. But somehow or other, we used them. He wouldn't allow any murdering. He just stealing. But only from the nonsense, sinful people. He said, we used them to build Ranganath's temple. And now that the temple's done, they would have just plagued and harassed so many people. So Ranganath has ended their lives. But because of the service they've rendered, they will achieve his lotus feet. So you have done well, my disciples, you have done well. And then for the rest of their lives, Tirumangai and his disciples just lived very simple lives of renunciates. And they were pujaris, worshipping Sri Ranganath. Soon after, they passed away from this world. So why? Why is he one of the Alvars? Yes? Why is he worshipped and adored and honored by the most pious, honest, and holy people? It is said, Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta, we must follow in the footsteps of great souls. But it is also said that we cannot imitate great souls. Lord Shiva drank poison. Yes? So sometimes Shivites, they smoke ganja or hashish. And they chant mantras with each puff. And they consider it a very sacred act of purification. And you, why are you doing like this? Well, our beloved Lord, Shankar Bhagavan, he can do, so we can do. Prabhupada said, well, he can drink poison of ocean. You cannot imitate. So we have no right to imitate Tirumangai. and think that we can steal or lie or cheat for Krishna. However, we must understand the spirit of Tirumangali. His love for the Lord. He was especially empowered by the Lord. He was specially directed by the Lord to perform this service for the benefit of tens and millions of people. Now, Tirumangai lived, what, about 1,500 years ago. That's how old this temple, as we see it, is. Is that correct, Nityananda Prabhu? When did he live? Hundreds of years before Ramanujacharya. So between 1,500, 2,000 years ago, he built this temple. And the temple he built has been visited by probably hundreds of millions of people over these years. And the temple he built became the high seat of Vaishnav culture. Yamunacharya lived here for the greatest years of his life. Ramanujacharya resided here for 60 years and inspired the whole Vaishnav culture throughout humanity. So we are very grateful to Tirumangai Alvar. We offer obeisances to him. It must have been a very painful situation for him to have to do what he did, but he did it for all of us. And you can see it, sometimes judge a thing by its result. Now, when any of us try to do something dishonest for Krishna, either we get put in jail, or, oh, you ruin the reputation of Vaishnavism, or there's all kinds of bad press in the newspapers, and we do something, the result is something, we get something, but the result is something very bad. Yes? But Tirumangai, what did he do? The result, it's glorious. But I will say one thing before we leave. Parasarabhatar explained one thing that's very important when we have darshan of Ranganath. Ranganath is Mahavishnu. He's laying on Anantashesha with Lakshmi Devi on his chest, being worshipped by all the devatas. He has beautiful lotus-like eyes, neck like swirling like a conch shell, a nose sweet like a sesame flower, lips like the bimba fruit. His thighs are like the trunks of elephants. And he has a very special gesture in his hands. One hand is directing us to his face, and the other hand is directing us to his feet. Now, what does that mean? Ranganath is saying the goal of life is for you to see, is for my face to smile. This is the goal of your life, that my face smiles. And how will you make my face smile? By taking shelter of my lotus feet. And how do we take shelter of his lotus feet? By being the servant of the servant of the great Vaishnavas and crying out his holy name. Prabhu has stopped all of the thousands of pilgrims so that we can have an exclusive darshan. But I'm going to give an instruction that I hope you all follow carefully. If you want to see Sri Ranganath, not with your eyes, but with your hearts, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. Krishna reveals himself according to how he's pleased with us. If we're trampling on devotees and pushing old ladies and old men and making babies cry and stepping on other people's heads and their feet and cramping in front of them, then you may be first in line to see Ranganath. But Ranganath is not going to be happy to see you. So we should be very polite. We should be very eager to give other people the opportunity. And the line should be a very civilized line. Letting senior devotees and older people before us. And this is the way we should always go for every darshan, wherever we go. We should have enthusiasm, but our enthusiasm should not only be to see the Lord, but to serve the devotees in such a way that the Lord wants to see us. So now let us very enthusiastically go for the blessed darshan of Sri Ranganath Swami. Forgive any offenses I have made. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Ramanujacharya ki. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Go Premanandi. Sri Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki.